Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
I'm going to try to preach tonight for just a little while on lessons from a little child. Lessons from a little child. You can kill this one right here. I'm in Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. That's where I'm going to take my text from. Read down through verse 16. It's good to be in church tonight, amen? I'm glad we're in church. It's good to be here. Sometimes after you two barn burners in a row, you come in, things just a little bit flat. You know, you kind of, whew. That Sunday will wear you out. Now, many days like that, I'd just go on to glory. And I'm going to tell you, Ricky Dixon's the fastest 60-year-old I ever seen in my life. He used to be as big around as he is tall. And he could still run like that. I figured he might have slowed down a little, not a bit. Not one bit. He's courting. Is that what it is, Jeff? Because he's courting? I don't know if that's true or not, but that might be it. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I love him. Oh, I've known him a long time now. It's been over 20 years that I've known Ricky and preached with him a couple different times. And he hadn't changed a bit. That's my kind right there. Just are what you are all the time. Mark 10, verse 13, if you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
They brought young children to him. Boy, tonight, you know, you're bringing the kids up to sing the songs, everything. This is God's word for us tonight. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Father, we love you and thank you for this night. Chance to be behind your desk again, Lord. What a responsibility lies on me to preach the truth. Help me to be accurate in the scripture. I pray that you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue, and you would anoint me afresh and anew, and you'd use me for your glory. And when you're through with me, call me home. I bless you for these that have come out tonight. It's a sweet place to be, Lord. The songs, the children, the prayer room, the day. It's been a good day with the Lord. I pray you help me for just a little while. I want to be an encouragement and a help to you people tonight, Lord. There might be somebody here lost. I don't know, but you know. And maybe they'll become, Lord, like a little child and enter in. We give you praise for everything you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do, and ask it in my Savior's name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Some things here, just a couple of things before I get into this, is I want us to notice that someone brings the children to the Lord. Children are easily led. Someone brings the children to the Lord. Now, aren't you glad someone brought you to the Lord? I mean, the Lord said, "You've not chosen me, I chose you." But someone had thought enough, they had enough concern about you. Maybe it was just through prayer and the Spirit urged you to seek God while he may be found. But someone had a hand in bringing us to the Lord. I'm glad that that is true. And I'm glad for those that bring them. I admire the parents that have been faithful to bring their children to the house of God, hear the word of God, be subjected to the Word of God, that the Spirit might take that Word. Brother Jimmy read tonight, I was begotten by the Word. They take that Word, it pierces their heart and draws them, woos them unto the Lord. Bless the Lord for parents that do that, have done that, continue to do that, to bring the children unto the house of God. It hurts my heart when I pass a ball field, it's church time and the thing's full. It just hurts my heart. There was a city ordinance here at one time. You couldn't have ball field lights on Sunday or Wednesday night. Somewhere along the way, ball became more important than church. But someone brings the children. That's their caretaker in this. It doesn't say it was their parents. It was the one that was looking out after them. Now, he said young children. Luke calls them infants. So, and Matthew, little ones, so I think we'd be safe to say it was a child that couldn't get there on its own. Whether it was in infancy or led by the hand, probably all ages included there, wasn't just babies, wasn't just toddlers, wasn't just small children, it was all of the above, and they brought them to Jesus. In this day, it was a common thing to take little children to the rabbi that he might put his hand on them and pray a prayer of blessing over them. That was a common practice. So what they were doing here, they were recognizing Jesus as the one with the authority to bless them, and they was bringing the children to him. Well, the caretaker brought him, but Jesus done the blessing. It was a blessing that they were brought, but it was by the hand of God. You know tonight that every good gift and every good, perfect gift cometh down from above. It's from the hand of God. Listen, it's from his hand, praise God, to my mouth. And our blessings that we sing about and got so stirred up about here Sunday night, it's the blessings of the Lord. He's still blessing today. He's still blessing. So we know that the blessings come from him. We know that they brought him to him. There's always somebody in the crowd that's going to try to disrupt what the Lord's trying to do. And this time it's his own disciples. How sad is it? Here's what I say. Don't block nobody's blessing. Don't get in the way of somebody's blessing. It'd have been like me jumping up and telling Ricky not to run the other night. You know, I don't think it would have done any good, but that's what it would have been. You can't do that. Or no, hushing them down. I was somewhere trying to sing one night, and this little boy was singing. This is years ago before I was preaching, taking my guitar around, sing a song here and there. And I was in a revival trying to sing this little boy. This little boy was trying to sing along with me. He's happy as he could be. And the mama or granny, whoever it was there, was trying to shush him down. And I just stopped. I said, hey, don't shush that boy. We've had him. Hey, we've told him, shut up. Don't say nothing. Praise God. That ain't what church is about. You let him sing. Hey, let him sing. Let him shout. It's not going to disrupt me. If what somebody else is doing takes me out of my worship, I'm the one's got the problem. There's always somebody trying to block the blessing. It's usually church people. The lost are so dumbfounded by what we're doing, they don't know whether to run or hide. So we've been blessed in the last week was just a premier week in my life. I'm going to tell you. I've lived to be 60 years old and never dreamed I'd do that. And it twisted something in my mind when my mama died at 47. I just thought, well, I might see 50. I can't explain that. I don't ask you to understand it because I don't myself. But just a lot of them. So I made 50. And now I've made 60. And Mike Blanton's grandson, Jackson, when he said, hey, it's Brother Mike's McCoy's birthday, he's 60 years old. And Jackson says, wow, 6 decades. Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about it. Wow, 6 decades. That's when you say it like that, sounds like a long time. Long time. Premier week. I mean, just things, just the Lord just blessed us. We got to go pick up Colin Boy, and a.k.a. Little Bud. And so I told him in the prayer room the other night, I said, having this kid, this little boy there, has triggered a thought in me, and I'm going to preach about lessons from a two-year-old. Well, this is lessons from a little child, because you've got little children. It's not just him, and they're not two, or maybe they are two, or three, or five, or six, but we can learn something from the little children. Now, the Lord said in Matthew 18, here's what he said about it, and it's just prior to this particular verse in Matthew. Here's what he said. He said, except you be converted and become as little children. Not become little children and be converted, except you be converted and become as little children. In other words, we're newborns in Christ. We start out low. He knew what he was talking about. And you'll never get in unless you do that. And he's speaking to that particularly because he expects us to become like little children. Now, he wants us to be like children, but not child, not childish in our actions and character. So, with that being said, I've learned a thing or two this past week, because now we just hadn't had him for 2 or 3 days before. We'd been with them, but we hadn't just had him on our own for 2 or 3 days. And it really showed me a few things, and I think it's applicable to all of us. Now, I don't know, it's 5 to 8. If you need to go somewhere tonight, you're welcome to go, because it's a 4-point message. We're going to be here for just a little while. Number one tonight, I think it's obvious in this. You know what it was about these children? Number one, they were dependent. That's what we are to the Lord. Here's what he said in John 15. He said, you can do nothing without me. So you know what I learned? I see that in Colin, is that there's a few things he can do, and he can do more things every day. And that's the way we should be spiritually. We should be able to do more right now than we've done last year at this time. That we might, you know, that we might grow in that grace and that knowledge. We might be that perfect man, adult. We grow into that. And even at adults, we continue to grow. We don't just reach a plateau, Brother Randy, and say, hey, I have arrived. No, we continue. We continue to make mistakes. We continue to learn by those. That's the best way to learn. Don't do it on purpose. But I'm telling you, hard lessons learned are seldom forgotten. Is dependency. So when we go to get him, there's just a lot of things he can't do. Here's what he'd say. He'll say, Pa, you do it. And I do. But he would try to get something, Mark. You stay with me. He would try to open something, Russell. He'd try to reach up to something. He would try something, and he would fail. And you know what he'd say, David? Pa, you do it. You know what Pa'd do? He'd do it. You know why, Brother Lane? Because I could. Now, if it was something going to hurt him or something that he didn't need, Paul wouldn't do it. But if it was something that wasn't going to do anything but be a blessing to him and he wanted it, you know what's going to happen? Paul's going to do it. And every time I do something, the Lord would speak to my heart.
He'd say, how many times have you gone in a place that you couldn't do it? You'd say, Lord, Lord, you do it. Hey, I've tried to do it. I've tried and failed. And I've tried more than once. And I couldn't get it done. But when I look up and say, Lord, you do it, the Heavenly Father's hand comes down and blesses his child.
Lessons from a little child. He's dependent. But he's not only dependent. Number two, he's this. Number two, he's dependent. But number two, he has a desire for me to be with him. Now, it might have something to do with I do whatever he wants to do. But don't do everything. I do most things, but not everything. So we go to pick him up at school one day. We get there early, and Dusty and I get in the car, and we drive over to the school ground, or the school where he stays, daycare. It's a Methodist church is where they keep him. And we pull up there, and they see Dustin's car, and so they go to get him, and he comes walking out. He's got the woman by the hand. He's come walking out. His head's down. He's just a boy. I love boys. Praise God for boys. Nothing wrong with little girls, but. I mean it in this respect. I love boys that are boys. Boys are just different than girls. They put things in their pockets and break stuff. And daddy has to fix it. And they try everything. They get on the roof. Don't leave a ladder leaned up. They climb trees, fall out, break their arms. They just do things. I love boys. Play in the dirt. We need guys that play in the dirt. Yeah, bless God. Catch crawdads, get in the creek. Yeah, we need boys. You know what happens to boys? They turn into men. Amen. We got enough girls. We got girls that are girls. Thank God for girls. I love girls. And the little girls love me. They either come and sit in my lap during church. Kimber's my number one fan. And Lily Kate won't let nobody hold her, and she come to me. And I love little girls. He's acting like a little boy, got his head down, kicking, stomping around. And he looked up and he saw me through the glass. And he went ballistic. He jerked his hand out of the teacher and started jumping up and down and yelling, Pa! Pa! I thought that's where the Lord wants me. That's the way the Lord wants us to be with him. Make you have a Ricky Dixon fit, praise God. Hey, listen, that's him. He showed up. He's blessed me again. Glory to God, my desire is him. But then when your desire becomes him, here's what he said. I read it the other night, I think I read this. Psalm 37 and verse 4, he says, delight thyself in the Lord also, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. So when that desire becomes him, hey, anything that boy wants, I'll give him. Within the will of the Father. Not outside of it. Nothing that'll hurt him. But the thing that would be a blessing to him and needful, Brother Randall, hey, he's got it. Why? Because, hey, I'm his hero. I come walking up the steps in the house. Pat and I have been there. We walk up the steps. He sees they live in a split level home. He sees my head come up over the steps. He goes into a sheer ballistic fit, running back and forth to the door, yelling, Pa!
Get the checkbook out, Pat, and give him everything in the bank. Why? Because he's glad. He's glad to see me. He wants my presence. Hey, how much more the Lord? We just come in and say, Lord, hey, this little child wants your presence. I don't care who's watching. I'm about to have a fit because he's here.
You know what that does? That affects other people around you. It's not just a blessing to us. I've learned this lesson from this little boy. His dependency. He can't buy his clothes. He can put boots on, but he hasn't hardly got shoes mastered yet. But he can slip his foot in the boot. We're sitting there on the couch. My shoes are under the coffee table. And he walks up and he looks at him. He turns around and looks at me. I got your shoes on. Well, God spoke to me right there. He said he's going to follow them right there. He's following those. They better be going the right direction. That's the shoes he's wearing. I didn't ask him to put them on. He just put them on. Hey, because they belong to me. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Listen, Lord, Lord, guide me. He's dependent, but he desires it. Listen to this psalm I dug out today. The Lord, he says, Lord, Psalm 38, Lord, all of my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. He knows when I'm broke up about something. And he knows what I want. So I know what Colin wants. And sometimes when he don't get it, I get a little groaning out of that. And that's before me. And you know what? Maybe I just don't feel like doing it at that very moment. But if he groans enough, most of the time, Randy, I give in. Now I know it's the parable of the unjust judge. It's in this that unless she weary me, you know, unless she weary me, she wouldn't quit. She's gonna keep on asking. She was tore up about it, so finally he just gives it. He said, "Here, I just here. It's not gonna hurt nothing. You can have." And that's the way we are. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I've begged God for something over and over and over, and that really it wasn't really something that Brother Gordon I really needed. Now he's give in, and it's come to pass. And I've had to say, well, bless the Lord, I know where that comes from. Our desire is toward him. He would have us to be dependent and desire him. When he shows up, praise God, we ought to be glad that he shows up. Brother Marcus made the remark in the prayer room how blessed we are here in this area that we're not like California with a nut job governor out there. Nut job! Amen. Shutting down everything that's religious or flies the flag of God and letting everything else go along. I'm telling you, praise God, we're able to have church and the Father has showed up. It's the desire of my heart.
Hey, what'd he do for us in here Sunday? I mean, he lit this place up, glory to God. Desire that. Hey, oh my, I was desiring that.
Number three. Now I think of this now. The dependency of the child and the desire of the child. Now, the children don't want this, but it's necessary in children. And if we are like little children, here's what's going to happen. We need discipline for the child. We need discipline for the, not just dependency of the child and the desire of the child, but we need this. We need discipline for the child. So Colin's got a note or two sent home from daycare. Sometimes his granny comes out at him and he gets in trouble. I'm talking about his granny Debbie. So, a lot of things are learned, but you don't have to teach them. It's just in them to be bad. All you with little children know that. So we're there at the house playing the other day, and I've got him up on the bed, and I'm roughhousing him pretty hard. And he reared back and he said, "I kick." I said, "You don't kick me." The line just went in the sand right there. You can kick the wall. You can kick the dog. You can kick the tires. You probably kicked the kids at school. That's why you got a note. But you're not kicking Paul. And I didn't have to yell at him. My demeanor changed. My voice, it was no longer. He knew the difference. And when I said, "You don't kick." And he went right on to something else. So Joe Beth had to spat him a few times. Of course, that's common. That's good. Why? Because he needs discipline. He needs discipline. He's got to know. He's got to know. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Now, that's exactly right, Brother Dennis. Hebrews 12 and 6. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you be without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. That's exactly right. Then I want you to listen. I want you to listen to this. Now, here's what we say. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not what it says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I thought, I wonder, does that mean all? What does that mean, betimes? I would just read through that and read it often, quoted that verse. I've misquoted it before. But that's what happens if you hate him. But they need chasing betimes. And you know what that means? That means to do it early. It either starts early. It's like a horse. You horse people, you let one stay out there on its own till it's 4 or 5 years old and now try to do something with it. Not much difference with children. If their spirit's not broken by the time they're 7 or 8 years old, you've got trouble on your hands. How do you know that? Because I grew up with some of them. Granny whipped me and Vince run off. I thought, boy, when his mama shows up, he's going to get it. She'll beat him worse than Granny beat me. And he didn't get a whipping. His mama showed up. Granny said, and Granny said she didn't do this till the day she died, but I got the stripes to prove it. I knew she done it. Broke a bunch of quart jars out behind the smokehouse. Boys, it's what we do. We break stuff, get whipped. And he run off, and I thought, when his mom shows up, he's going to get a beating. I'm going to watch it and say, he didn't get a beating. She just let him off the hook. She let him off the hook this and off the hook that. And he got off the hook. And then by the time he's a young man, he don't like the hook. Ain't nobody going to put him. We joined the Coast Guard together. Listen, they tell you everything you do when you join that thing. He didn't do too well because he wasn't used to being told what to do. It was a lot easier on me because I followed the orders. You know why I did? Because I thought back to the time I broke the jars behind the courthouse and Granny wore me out. That ain't counting all the 275 times Mama beat me. That's just the one time stuck out in my mind. Why didn't it? Because we need discipline. Do you know you still get that? We still get that as Christians. God come by. You think, why am I going through this? Look here. It might be that you needed that chastening. That's not real fun. Colin don't like it either, but it's still true. Where'd you learn that? Watching a little child. You better discipline them. Lastly tonight, you know what this, in verse number 14, whosoever not received the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So here's, it's the dependency of the child, the desire of the child, the discipline of the child. But here it is, ultimately, it is the direction of the child, because the direction that the child's going in determines his destination. I can't get to Jamestown, Tennessee, going south. From right here, I'll never make it to Jamestown if I head south. I'd be going the wrong direction. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven going the wrong direction. So Granny bought me this Bible. And it's not one that I would even keep had she not bought it and written a big thing in the front of it. But she closed it with Proverbs 3, I think it's 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lead not unto thy own understanding, and he shall direct thy path. That's a plural word there. There's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus. But we walk many paths in this life. I mean, I've walked a path this way and that, and we walk a lot of paths, but only one way, that is in the Lord Christ. So we go get the boy. He don't know how to get to Crossville. He knows he wants to go to Pa's house. Because he gets to Pa's house, he gets to set in the boat and blow the horn. He gets to get on the lawnmower. He calls it a tractor because it's green. Anything that's green is a tracty. So he gets on the tracty, and if it goes in a shed, don't matter if it's a shed, it's a barn. You put the tracty in the barn. So he gets the key out of my truck. The shed's locked, and he goes and he tries to put my truck key in the shed door to get the tractee out. I said, won't fit, bud. Granny tells him the tractee's asleep. Oh, tractees have to sleep too. I don't know. That's a little fabrication. It's not a blatant lie, but it's, Randy says it's close. Maybe it's not running. It is in a state of not running, which might be able to be referred to as sleep, but he bought it hook, line, and sinker. He don't know how to get here unless I bring him. When I die, I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't have any idea. I know I'm on the right path. I know Jesus is going to get me there, Brother Branch, but I don't know how to get there. But I don't have to worry about how to get there, because I'm headed the right direction, praise God. And he said, according to Mike Blanton preaching on the promise the other day, I was going to the other side. When that boy gets in that vehicle, you know what he does? He fully trusts me. Complete confidence. We're going to Pa and Granny's house. No questions asked. Don't matter how long it takes to get there. Get him something to eat and drink. Show him a tractor or a cow going down the road occasionally. He must be going to be a farmer. He's happy as he can be. Start looking for the tractee, son. He'll stare for hours. And you can find one between here and Mount Juliet if you drive 70, I guarantee it. Highway 70. I don't ever drive 70. Here's what happens, Brother Lee. So Mike Blanton and I took him over to Grootley Lager Monday. He had a little business conduct over there, and I run him over there, and Matthew Meeks, the pastor, Brother Matthew, showed up, and he showed me something on the phone. That's going to help you right here, I guarantee you. He said, have you seen this guy? I didn't have a clue who he was. I said, no, I don't know who that is. Some fella in the great big Baptist church, he gets up the guitar, and he's trying to sing a song. He can't sing for testifying and preaching a little bit. And the Spirit of the Lord's on him. And he starts talking about an old preacher. I'm talking about the destination of the child. Or the direction. He starts talking about an old preacher. And he says this, Brother Junior. The guy's singing. He said, the old preacher would say, I'm just a standing on the porch. And I'm a waiting to go in. And he'd sing a little more. And he'd say, oh, Brother so-and-so would say, I'm just a standing on the porch and I'm a waiting to go in. He said about 3 days ago, he said he's no longer on the porch. Said somebody opened the door and said he just went right on in. Said not standing on the porch anymore, but he went on in. That's what's going to happen. So Brother Corbin, he's not here tonight, is he? Brother Corbin called. I put a baby on the prayer chain. Yesterday, day before. And he said, pray, Brother Mike, pray. He said, the baby's in very poor shape. Early this morning, I'm sitting down, reading my Bible, drinking coffee. Text come up and said that little Olivia didn't make it. That's not a good way to start the day. I was kind of hurt my heart. I had this on my mind anyway to preach tonight. I'd heard that from Matthew the other day. I'd seen a picture of her. Corbin sent me a picture of her. She'd had a pretty rough way to go. And she was standing on the porch. And a door opened up. And she went on in. Dusty said, make you think how blessed you are. Nothing wrong with Colin that we know of. He just runs, jumps, carries on. But you don't know. You might be standing on the porch. And he's about to open the door in the next 24, 48 hours. And you're going to go on in. You know what we do? Like old Bo. We're born, we come in this world, and God gives us to somebody. And they do the best they can with it. That's good, He's dependent on Pa. He desires to see me. And I even have to discipline him a little along the way. And I'm trying to get him going in the right direction. But Pa can't get him there. I can do everything right. And he not make it in. Maybe God in his perfect knowledge, the providence of God to provide in advance, his foreknowledge, he knows who will and who won't. And he can do anything he wants to do at any time. Nothing is impossible with God. Maybe he's seen something in the future of that baby. Maybe. That he said, you know what? It'd just be better if I just brought her on home right now. And those that leave early, maybe he sees something down the road, and the omniscient God to whom we serve says this, that, hey, I believe I'll take that little child right now. I've learned that watching a little boy. Here's my hope for it. Hope he skins his knee enough to know that the hurt won't last forever. I hope he learns there's some things worth standing up for. I admire Morgan and some that she told us just the other night. She brought us some goodies out to home and told us a little bit about some educational issues and some things you have to face in modern day educational institutions. And you have to stand for a few things. And it'll cost you when you do. But I hope he learns to be able to do that. It's some things worth standing for. And I hope he can watch Granny and Pa and Mom and Daddy and his Grandpa and Grandma Rich. And learn in this way. It's how you ought to love each other. How you ought to be. Putting them shoes on. And I hope he loves this country and that flag. I don't care how many knotheads we got in this land. Praise God, it's still blessed of the Lord. And God's used it to evangelize the world. I'm going to teach him to love that flag. But all these things would be for naught. If you don't come unto Jesus and let the Master bless him. However long he's going to leave him here. Because there is no blessing outside the Lord. Amen. Oh, what a reason. Everything else will wear out and fade away. But oh my, what he has for those that are his. Glory to God. We are his little children. And you know what? He doesn't want to withhold not one good thing from them that walk uprightly. Praise God, he wants to bless you. Yeah, I'm not saying name it and claim it. I'm not saying it's all prosperity. I know people that didn't have two nickels to rub together and they was blessed above and beyond. Hey, I hope he knows that his true and only hope is in the blood of the Lord. That's the lesson. I hope he learns, because I've learned some watching him. I ought to be more like that between me and the Lord. Wholly dependent. desiring to be in his presence. Shout about his discipline. Every whipping I ever got, the next thing I wanted to do is I wanted to crawl up in their lap and put my arm around their neck and hug them as tight as I could to be reminded that it really did hurt them more than it hurt me. God don't take pleasure in chastening us. Never did. I want to be headed in the right direction. If that boy's going to follow me, I want to lead him. I want him to follow the right way. Come to the piano, Sister Jewel. I'm done. I don't know, may not anybody need to pray tonight, but you might need to pray. I know this is what the Lord put on my heart. I've sat with the Lord all day. Meditated, contemplated, thought of how many times I have not done that, been dependent on Him, tried to do it on my own. Finally break down and say, Lord, You do it. Desiring to have Him, we'll be at home. Supper will be over. They'll start to get the boy out of the chair. He'll say, no, 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 Pa, do it. Pa, do it. How many times, Lord, I just want You to do it. And then when I do something foolish, He has to chasten me. Just reminds me how much He loves me. And if I'm following Him, I'm headed in the right direction. He's going to take me where I need to go. We stand our feet tonight. I'm not going to get a song. She's just going to play. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come. I'm going to pray. It's up to you, whatever you want to do. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.